Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we invite you in for the continuation of this excellent teaching series centered on our study guide called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, based on Bob's book of the same title. If you don't have a copy of the book or the study guide, you can go online now to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link right on the home page, and you'll find them both there. But for right now, time to get underway with this study edition through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on page 51 of our study guide, and we're going to talk about the fear factor today. Last week, I shared some of my personal story and made some confessions, some public confessions, how I was a part of a shoplifting gang and got caught. And,
Bob, I can't.
Didn't get caught by, at the store, but one of my buddies, his guilt got so much, he just blabbed it to his mom, and his mom called my mom, and boy, that's when I got in all kinds of trouble. I knew I was a disappointment to mom and dad, but I also knew I was a huge disappointment to God, and I always wondered what was going to happen, and so I'd go to bed at night with that fear deep inside of me. Now, mom and dad, they decided to let my punishment be at the hands of the store manager, mm-hmm. so I had to go back to each and every store manager and say, this is what I did. I took this, this, and this, and so then it would be up to them with how they would punish me. And boy, talk about a scary experience. I was petrified. I was thinking I was going to be put in the child detention center and would never see the light of day for a long, 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 long time. But they were lenient. They were merciful. And I was grateful for that. I simply had to repay what I had taken. So we got through that, but that didn't eliminate this fear that I had of what God was going to do. And so I begged and pleaded and begged and pleaded and begged and pleaded, and the more I begged, the more I pleaded, the further or the more intense that fear became. I didn't feel forgiven at all.
But this was only after you got caught, right?
Well, I did know that what I was doing was not right. And so in doing it, there was the fear there as well. Hey, this isn't something I'm supposed to be doing. I mean, we don't need, a whole set of rules and regulations. We've got our own consciences,
That's
human
right.
consciences that will tell us what's right and what's wrong. So I knew what I was doing was wrong. No question about that. And then when I finally got caught, that fear of punishment just really consumed me.
Sure, yeah.
So I begged and pleaded, and that set off a pattern for me. I would give in to sin. I would feel guilty. I would fear punishment. Out of that fear, I would beg and plead God for forgiveness. I would promise that I would do better. And then the next sin would roll around, and then the next sin. And so that became a vicious cycle. And I never felt forgiven. I never knew that my sins had been taken away. I never knew that in Christ I had redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I never knew that truth. And so I lived in fear. And fear is a very devastating human emotion.
Sure.
If we're making decisions based on fear, we're making bad decisions. That's just all there is to it. So we have to come to grips with our own fears, and we have to offer those to God and let the perfect love of God do what only the perfect love of God can do, and that's to cast those fears aside. Now, we see the beginning of fear way back in the Garden of Eden, and it is a natural consequence of sin. So in Genesis 3:10, Adam and Eve have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They feel ashamed. They feel guilty over that particular sin, over that choice of independence from God. And before that, they had experienced just wonderful fellowship with God the Father. They enjoyed his love. They enjoyed that relationship that they had with him. That was their life. And now that's all changed. And so Adam and Eve are not enjoying that like they once were. And God goes seeking for them. And I think that's an important piece of that story in the Old Testament, the fact that God didn't turn his back on Adam and Eve. And that's what so many people believe happens when we sin, that God just turns his back on us like he's in a swivel chair. And at once he was looking toward us, and when we sin, he turns his back on us until we do something, and then he'll turn his face back toward us. But that's not what God did. God pursued Adam and Eve, and he asked the question, "Where are you, Adam?" And here's how Adam answered. "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So what do we see in Adam's heart that wasn't there before? We see fear. He was afraid because he was naked, so he hid. He and Eve hid themselves from God. They created clothes. They made clothes from fig leaves, and God said, "That's not enough. That's not going to cover over what you've done." So he sacrificed an animal, and he made skins for them and clothed them, and that was an act of grace on God's part. But right there in the Garden of Eden, we see where fear entered into the human race. And so Adam and Eve passed that fear on to you and me. When we come into this world, we are naturally fearful. That's kind of built into our spiritual DNA. And it's the result of Adam and Eve's sin. That's the story. Now we go to the New Testament, and we see in Colossians chapter 1, we see a really insightful verse in verse 21. Paul writes this: "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that's exactly what Adam and Eve felt after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They felt like they were God's enemies. Yeah. That's what you and I feel. That's what we think before coming to know Christ Jesus. We think of God as an enemy. Now, God never sees himself as our enemies. As a matter of fact, his actions declare something completely different. We see in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So if he was our enemy, he would not have sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and me. God has always loved us. God has always had us in mind, and he wanted to bridge that gap that sin caused between us and himself. And he bridged that in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, he can take that fear and get rid of it and replace it with love and peace and joy through faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, what caused that negative thinking toward God? Your own evil behavior. But now, verse 22, and I love these verses that start with "but now."
Yeah.
This is what once was, but now things have changed.
Contrast.
And things have changed because of the work of Jesus Christ. "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." So you may have thought you were God's enemies, but God declared something different through the work of Jesus Christ. And through that work of Jesus Christ, he has reconciled you unto himself so that you can enjoy that relationship with God fear-free. That's good news.
That is good news. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're working through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, and we hope you're benefiting from what you're hearing. If you miss any of these weekly sessions along the way, you can find them in the archive That's at basicgospel.net/teaching, and we hope you'll share them with your family and friends. Also, remember, everybody, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate every one of you who has given to ensure that we're able to continue broadcasting and streaming the love and grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as you're able, please visit basicgospel.net and join us in supporting Basic Gospel, and we'll say thank you for supporting this ministry by sending you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. Again, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. Now back to the study. This is a great study, Bob. I'm enjoying it, and I hope you're enjoying delivering it, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It takes me back to, you know, how I used to approach the Christian life, how I thought about God because of my own sin, and then the power of the good news of Jesus Christ that changed all that, that took the fear that was consuming me and just mitigated it, diminished it to nothing, and replaced it with this love, this dependence, this thankfulness, and this wonder of knowing God and knowing God through Jesus Christ. So this is exciting for me to relive all that and to see what God has done inside of me. Now, as I said, we come into this world, we're naturally fearful of punishment, punishment of our sins. We hide from God, we run away from God, we try to keep our distance from God. Why? Because we're fearful of punishment, that he's going to do something to us as a result of our sin. But God shows us his real heart toward us in the cross of Jesus Christ. God's disposition toward us has always been a disposition of love, a disposition of grace, a disposition of mercy. That's God, and we see it in the cross, and through that cross he did something to reconcile us, to restore that relationship that man once had in the Garden of Eden. So that's good news. Now, 1 John 4:10 says this. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the propitiation for our sins. Some translations render that as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then I found this particular rendering in a footnote in one of the translations that I read. It says this: this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the one who would turn aside his wrath, taking away our sins. Now, I like that particular rendering of this verse. So based on this rendering, who took the punishment that you justly deserved? Well, Jesus Christ did. So we were under the judgment of God, under the condemnation of God. And if nothing changed between now and the time we die, then we were going to experience the full measure of eternal death. And that is the condemnation, that is the judgment of God for those who reject Jesus Christ. But for those who received him, they experience forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus took that wrath on their behalf. So Jesus died for the sins of the world, which means he died for your sins, which means he took the punishment that you justly deserved. Talk about good news. That is good news. So let's ask a couple of questions. Have your sins been judged and punished? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. They have been judged. They have been punished. So will God punish you for your sins here and now? Well, the answer to that is no. There's no double jeopardy as far as God is concerned. He judged those sins once in Jesus Christ. He meted out the punishment, which was death. Jesus Christ took it. And when he took upon himself the sins of the world, he said, "It is finished." The sin issue was done.
Yes.
It was finished. God had done everything that needed to be done as far as your sins are concerned. So your sins have been judged. Your sins have been punished. There will be no more judgment or punishment for your sins, period.
Right.
Now, the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that truth? And when you start to believe that truth, you're going to see that fear start to disappear.
Yes.
That's what the truth does. It sets you free from that fear that once held you in its grip. Now, in 1 John 4:18, we've read this passage before, but it is one that is worth repeating. It's one that's worth memorizing. It's one worth underlining in your Bible. So, in what way does the love of God drive out your fear of punishment? This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice or the propitiation for our sins. Therefore, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what did the love of God do? The love of God sent Jesus to die in your place. The love of God sent the punishment for your sins upon Jesus Christ, and he bore that punishment in his body. Jesus died in your stead. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus died so that you could have eternal life. That's the love of God in action. As you receive that love of God, as you stand in that love of God, you're going to see the love of God drive out that fear. Why? Because the love of God is going to continually tell you that punishment for sins has already been dealt with.
Yes, indeed.
And Jesus Christ took it once and for all. So not only does Christ's death free you from your fear of punishment, it also frees you from another fear. In Hebrews chapter 2, we see this, and it says, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Now, why do people fear death? Well, the Bible tells us that once we die, then comes the judgment. Mm-hmm. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of punishment. We're afraid of judgment. Well, when we know that our judgment and punishment went upon Jesus, then there's nothing to fear as far as death is concerned. We know that when we die, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Yes.
So this is good news. So back in the day when I didn't know all of this good news, when I was living in fear, I wanted to know what I was supposed to do when I sinned. That's how I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with all kinds of things that I was supposed to do after I sinned. Now, a number of years ago, after I wrote the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I was on a television program in Canada, 100 Huntley Street. And the host, a good friend of mine named John Hall, we were working through some of the questions. And so he asked me, Bob, what are we supposed to do when we sin? Because we had been talking about this total forgiveness that we had in Christ Jesus. And so I turned the question. I said, well, I think I have a better question. And the better question is this: what does God do when we sin?
Yeah.
And he had never heard that question before. But I think it's something that we need to ask. What does God do when we sin? Now, most of us think that he turns his back on us. Most of us think that he's now angry with us and that we have to do something to appease that anger. We have to do something to get him to turn back around and look at us. Some of us think that our sin causes us to be out of fellowship with God. Well, if that's the case, then we have to do something to get back into fellowship with God. So all of those thoughts puts the responsibility on our shoulders. And so we're sitting here trying to figure out through our own understanding what we're supposed to do when we sin. But if we will stop and ask the question, what does God do when we sin? Then I think everything is going to fall into place. Yeah. So what does God do? We have seven passages that we want to go through to let you know what God does. So in 1 John 2:12, John the Apostle writes this, "I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." So what is God going to do when you sin? He's going to assure you that that sin has already been forgiven on account of the name of the Lord Jesus. So he's going to assure you and confirm that you are a forgiven person. The second thing, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as far as sonship is concerned, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the first thing God does is to point us back to the blood of Jesus Christ and say, because of his shed blood, you are a forgiven person. Mm-hmm. The second thing he does is he confirms or bears witness with our human spirit that indeed we are God's children. A lot of times when we sin, we're wondering if we even belong, if this faith thing is even a reality in our lives. Well, the Spirit of God is going to testify that indeed we are God's children. In Romans 13:10, we see this, love does no harm to a neighbor. So when we sin, we're usually doing things that are going to cause harm to someone else. And God is going to show that to us. And he's going to get our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes onto somebody else. And then we can say, Lord, how do we go and rectify this situation? So he's going to move us to bring about restitution or reconciliation in human relationships. In Titus 2:11, we read this, that the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. And this grace of God teaches us to renounce worldly passions and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. So what does God do? Well, that grace that he has poured out on us will teach us how to renounce those worldly temptations and those fleshly desires as we continue to grow in grace and to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 4:22-24, it says this, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Mm-hmm. So God is going to remind you of who you are in Christ, that this new self has been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's going to empower you just to simply live out who you are in Christ. In Romans 8:28, he says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." What is God going to do? He's going to work it together for good. Mm-hmm. What a win-win situation that
sure,
is.
Absolutely.
And then in Philippians 1:6, we read this, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Your sin doesn't stop God from doing his work in and through you. That doesn't hamper him.
No.
It doesn't thwart his efforts in your life. He's going to continue to work, and he's going to carry that work on to its completion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good news. So what does God do when we sin? It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It really is
yeah.
good stuff. And we can rest in that.
Mm-hmm.
We can rest in that. And when we realize what God does, then we can know what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And what we're supposed to do is to respond in faith, to entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly, to entrust ourselves to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And as we do, we're going to see our hearts overflowing with gratitude and us having this desire to express that faith and love toward others.
Absolutely, and with an attitude of thanksgiving. And thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website. That's at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. You can link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. Prominent links right there. Hope you'll use one or the other. Well, that's it for another week, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God willing, we'll see you again on Monday. See you then, hopefully. Bye-bye.